welcome to Season 9, Episode 10 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing Ubuntu 16.04. We'll also have some command line love and go over your feedback. I'm Martin, and joining me this week are Laura.
Hello.
Hello. And Alan.
Hello.
Where are we this week?
Still in Prague.
Lovely.
Wow.
And Mark.
That's a long trip.
Hello.
Hello. So, Mark, what have you been up to since we spoke last?
I have been mainly playing Pillars of Eternity.
Gamer.
Is that a new game?
I don't think so. I think, in fact, I've probably mentioned it before, but I hadn't played it for a while. And then I picked it up again and found that it had got good Steam controller support added. So I've been playing it almost continuously
since
then.
Give us the tweet-sized elevator pitch of what this game is and why I should buy it.
If you've played a game like Baldur's Gate or Icewind Dale or similar, then it's like that, but modernized and super awesome. If you haven't played it, if you like role-playing games, you might like it. If you don't like role-playing games, you won't like it.
Okay, I'll pass.
I think I'm more of an Alan type of gamer.
Doesn't sound like my kind of thing, no.
Well, screw you all.
But you get so it all to yourself.
As long as you're enjoying yourself, Mark, that's all that matters.
Well, it's only single player anyway. I wasn't going to invite you.
It's going to be one of those episodes.
Martin, what have you been doing that's so much more interesting?
Well, I've been getting acquainted with my BQM10 Ubuntu tablet.
Ooh. Martin wins.
Yeah.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
And what acquaintances have you found with it?
I was surprised to learn that it comes pre-installed, in air quotes, with Firefox and LibreOffice and Gedit and, somewhat mysteriously, XChat. So those are, you know, GTK applications that you can run in the desktop mode. Some people call it the converged mode, but, you know, you can turn that on and you can get window controls and you can drag them around and start them up. And the LibreOffice and Firefox in particular are very useful additions to the tablet, but it's very early days. I haven't had enough time to really get to grips with it all, so I shall be spending a few more days with that this coming week.
Why did you say in air quotes installed?
Because they're not, like, when you first turn the device on, they're not in the, you know, app selection. When you go to do an update, almost instantaneously, this 550 meg update magically appears out of thin air. And I thought, my goodness, my shortwave radio broadband is going well today. And then you click update and then those apps get installed. So there's kind of like this...
like a preloaded update.
Preloaded update that's got those bits in it, yeah.
Weird.
Awesome. What else?
And I've made my first snap packages, so I'm finding my way with that, or more fumbling my way around working out how those work. And for a friend of the show, Nick... I have been at the Egg and Ham Raspberry Jam
last weekend. Went there. That was good fun.
Yeah, it was. It was good fun.
Kids thoroughly enjoyed themselves.
Good. I'm pleased to hear it.
Should we get on with it?
Let's.
Yes.
As we mentioned last week, Ubuntu 16.04 LTS was released on the 21st of April, which was last Thursday as we record this, and last but one Thursday as
we
release
this.
you can probably work out when it is, to be honest, because I told you the actual date. But more to the point, we're going to talk about what's new. What's new in 16.04 what's interesting about it, or what's not interesting about it. So first of all, the release notes say that 1404 LTS to LTS is enabled in 3 months, which I think we briefly mentioned before, because it doesn't prompt you to upgrade an LTS until the 0.1 release. But it's possible to upgrade now, which I managed to do after a bit of messing and almost upgrading to 1510 by mistake.
Oh.
So is this
what
something
were you on
that
previously?
I was on 1404.
Ah, okay.
Yes, it was quite strange. Yeah, so
how did you do, how did you force it? Did you go into the text file and edit the repository
names?
Not
quite. I originally went into the update manager and then switched from telling it to only update to LTS releases to telling it to update to whatever release, and then it said, install Ubuntu 15.10, and then changed all of the sources, and I said no. And then I discovered you run sudo release dash manager space minus D or something.
Just for clarification, it's sudo do release upgrade
minus D. No, you see,
D,
I tried do release upgrade and it wasn't having it.
Well, there's two. There's do release manager update, do release upgrade minus D, or update manager minus D. They're both, one's a GUI, one's a command line.
Update manager is the GUI and what you should
right,
do.
Right, that's what I ended up doing. And then that worked.
So would somebody who knows the correct thing stick it in the show notes and I'll add it?
Yeah.
For people who...
Preferably link to the upgrades wiki page, because that has all the gotchas and the don't do this and do that. Rather than just like... So I get a bit itchy when I see blog posts that say, just run this command and you'll upgrade to 1604, because there are some gotchas in the release notes where you might not want to upgrade, or you might want to hold off until the 0.1.
So crucially, I've upgraded my laptop... but I've not upgraded my Steam box, because my Steam box has AMD graphics and the accelerated hardware accelerated graphics driver isn't currently supported in 1604. So I'm waiting until that new, until the new driver is released for that.
You have an APU as well, which is like a double whammy, isn't it?
Well, it hasn't been in the past. I just have whatever the driver was. There's no
right. This is a change in policy from AMD, so you know, we just have to wait and see for that. But you're okay on 1404. You can carry
that's supported until 2019.
So, what new and interesting delights do we have for 1604?
Well, we have Linux kernel 4.4, which has new things.
It's a higher number, so it must be better. Yeah.
Yes. Python 3 is now the default Python.
Default Python for server and cloud and touch, but it didn't quite push out Python 2 altogether from the desktop images. So there was a real effort to try and rid the images of Python 2, and for reasons it didn't quite happen.
Right.
So
if you run Python, just Python on the default desktop install, what Python
is Python 3
run? Right, but Python 2 is still there doing stuff,
right? Because it's dependency of some of the other things that are pre-installed on the desktop, so we couldn't get rid of it.
Very close then.
Also, updated version of Golang. What uses Go?
Program
lots of new stuff, actually. Phone related stuff, like the tools we use. It's a kind of favorite language at the moment in Canonical and elsewhere, so lots of our new stuff is done with Golang.
Updated OpenSSH, no doubt fixing lots of security holes which have been found since the last release.
As well,
new apt.
This is an interesting one, actually, because there's a couple of things. We've talked about one of them, which is the changing with the hashing algorithms that are supported and things like that. But something I noticed about apt very early on in the 1604 development cycle is when you do your apt updates now, they are much, 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 much faster than they've ever been before. And I've not looked to see what magic is happening behind the scenes, but it seems to know which repositories need updating and which do not. And it only does the updates for the ones that actually need updating. So that cycle of apt update, apt install, or apt upgrade is much quicker than it's been before.
I'm not convinced it is. I think it's fooling you. I think it just echoes less stuff to the screen. You think it's faster.
No, okay.
Well, in fact, that could genuinely be faster, because if there's less stuff echoing to the terminal, then it's not got to wait while it prints each line.
The nice
less,
thing...
It's doing less. You notice it doesn't refresh every repository. It only does a handful or a few. It's definitely different.
One of the nice things I like about the newer versions of Apt is that in the past, if you downloaded a random deb off the web, like there was some application that was only available as a deb you download it, and then if you're installing like a, you know, elite hackers like we are, and we know all our listeners are, then you would sudo dpackage minus I the Debian package, but then it might barf because there are dependencies that it needs, and dpackage doesn't handle dependencies. That's what apt is for, or apt-get is for. But apt now, you can just do apt install and then the name of the Debian package, and it will install a local deb file and do the dependencies as well, which is quite nice.
Oh, I'm totally changing my Raspberry Pi build system. I didn't know that thing. That's terrific.
I only learned it today by being sat next to Ian Laney, who works on the desktop team and knows these things. And the guys were chatting about it at the table, and I just had to go, wait. What did you say it does now?
So there's also a note here saying that it includes privilege separation features. What's that?
No idea.
Oh, who wrote that?
I just copied it off the release notes. Guilty. Oh. Awesome. Hang on.
So write in if you know what that means.
And if you know what lots more means.
There's an unprivileged apt user now, which is used when making outgoing network connections and passing the results for the various app transport methods. So it sounds like it doesn't do everything as root now.
Right. Oh, that's okay. That is good. Yes. Excellent.
Cool. So there was lots of flavors updated in 16.04.
So
a big list.
I wrote lots more, but of course a couple of the big things that are now included in 16.04 that I neglected to put in the notes is the snap packages are a thing, and ZFS as well.
Oh yeah.
Yes. ZFS. Now, you see, I've heard of ZFS because FreeBSD people bleat on about it being superior to everything on the planet all the time. And today we had some lightning talks at the sprint that I'm at, and one of the guys from the desktop team gave a lightning talk about ZFS and why it's awesome and why you should use it and why you might not want to use it. And we talked about the reasons why it's not default, and because there are some use cases it doesn't cover yet, like the Ubiquiti installer doesn't cope with ZFS installs yet because it was landed fairly late and, you know, we didn't get Ubiquiti done. But it might be that by 16.10, we might get some of those features done. So by 16.10, you might be able to do an install on ZFS, which is quite cool. Something new and interesting for a post-LTS release.
It would be a good start as well, because then other technologies could be built around ZFS facilities.
And the snap stuff that landed in 16.04 was a little last minute, a little hairy. But you can open a terminal on a 16.04 system and just type snap find. And that's kind of the equivalent of doing an apt search to look in the store to see what apps there are.
Right, there's no GUI for that yet.
Not yet, no.
Is that going to be added to the Ubuntu Software Center is now being replaced with GNOME Software. So is that going to also be the snap interface?
That sounds like it could be a good thing to do, yes. So at the moment, you do snap find and you'll find packages in the store, and you could package your own stuff. There's a tool in the archive I've mentioned before called Snapcraft, and you could use Snapcraft to package something up and upload it to the store, and then it's immediately available to people who use Ubuntu around the world. So
I installed a snap.
Oh, really? Which one did you install?
Calculator.
Oh.
So now I have two calculators.
Get you. But one of them is separated away from, you know, has its own data. And
yeah.
You wouldn't want a nefarious calculator app.
And I think some of the flavors have included the snap support as well. So they managed to get in at the sort of 11th hour with.
I just have this feeling from you, Martin, that there might be one of these flavors that you want to talk about in particular.
Well, not generally, just all the best ones have snap support, you know.
Any you could name?
Ubuntu GNOME, I think, made an application to include
it. What else is new?
Well, on Snap support, the other thing that's different about Snaps is that the underlying technology, the stuff that does all of that, is going to be a bit like Firefox in that it's going to be continually updated through the archive during the lifetime of the 1604 release.
Right, so you'll get lots of updates to the Snapd, which is the thing, the underlying stuff.
Snappy Cli, yeah.
Yeah, and Snapcraft and all those tools. So yeah, you'll see updates for all that.
Snapcraft is an option, is something you have to install, but the underlying Snapd and Snapcli, you know, the snap install, snap remove stuff, that will be continually revved over the 1604 life.
And do I understand rightly that in theory, if you were to say have a bunch of snaps installed and then you were to upgrade your Ubuntu release to say 1804 LTS when that comes out, all of the snaps should in theory just stay and keep running just on the new Ubuntu base without any problem.
They're solid theory, Mark.
5 days after release, that's probably a bit premature to be talking about what's going to happen when you upgrade to 1804.
No, but I mean, is that the theory idea of how snaps are supposed to work?
I don't know, because you know, when we come to 1804, I'm not sure. I don't know if that is set in stone. But when we come to 1804, there'll be a new Ubuntu core.
Yes.
Because that will be based on, you know, the Series 18 release of Snappy. And it's entirely possible that there's stuff in that Ubuntu core 18 series that is not compatible with something in 16. So there might be a GCC ABI break or libstdc or something that fundamentally breaks the apps that you've got. I don't know. But I don't think that's unreasonable to think that something could break in the 2-year span. And I don't know how we handle that. And I think that's open.
Well, it'd be interesting to watch.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, if something is about to break, the developers are able to rev a new version of their thing and put it in the store pretty promptly, rather than waiting for an archive admin or a Debian packager to package it, an archive admin to approve it, and then for it to sit in a stable release update for a week and bake before it lands in the archive. So the turnaround time on, if there is something that you need to do, like rebuild your app for a new GCC or, you know, add whatever new version of libboost or whatever library that changes in the 2 years between one LTS and another, should be fairly straightforward for you to update. But I don't know what the process around, you know, how those changes that address that question you asked. Interesting question, though.
Yeah. Right. Well, we've got a big list of flavors that released. We should probably talk about some of them.
First up, we have Ubuntu Kylin, which is the version of Ubuntu specifically designed for the Chinese market. And also, it was
it is Chilin.
Chilin. It was the Ubuntu Chilin guys that actually did the development for moving the Ubuntu panel.
Unity launcher
to the bottom. Yeah, so it was their work that actually.
So is that default in Chilin that it's at the bottom?
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And that's all I can say about Chilin, because most of their pages in Chinese and I'm lingually
challenged.
Definitely. And then we've got Kubuntu. And I know nothing about KDE, so somebody else is going to have to take over here.
Unfortunately, I've not tried Kubuntu. I've only tried KDE Neon, which is not the full experience yet of the desktop. So, I think it's a slightly older version than the bleeding edge Plasma desktop. It might be the previous release.
Right.
The only thing I know about Kubuntu is that they don't ship the GNOME software or Ubuntu software, depending on which version you install it on. They have their own. They have their own software center thing called Muon, is it, or something?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
That the thing? So they're distinctive in that regard, and obviously the fact that it's KDE and all that other good stuff. And if you're into KDE, I'm reliably informed this is about the best KDE experience you can find.
Awesome.
Yes.
What other flavors have we got? We've got Lubuntu, which based on LXDE. They had a release. I haven't used Lubuntu for a while.
I know Lubuntu quite well because I help them out. I do their PowerPC testing for them, although wasn't able to for the final 1604 release. It's largely unchanging. This has sort of been a little bit sort of fixed now, because behind the scenes they're focusing on the transition to LXQT. I'm really looking forward to seeing Lubuntu 16.10 when they emerge.
This is a stable LTS.
This is a stable LTS before everything changes. Yeah. Right. So I think Lubuntu will be one to watch for 16.10. Mm, yeah.
Cool. Mythbuntu?
I don't know much about this other than they held the release cycle up a little bit a couple of beaters ago.
Meow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, moving on. Zubuntu?
Zubuntu. I, again, don't know a huge amount about what's been changing in Zubuntu. I think they've removed Media Manager, Music Player, or something support by default. But other than that, I don't recall the details.
And Ubuntu GNOME, does that ship with the very latest and greatest of upstream GNOME?
No, it's mostly GNOME 3.18,
right.
But they do maintain a PPA that has all the new stuff and is compatible. So if you install Ubuntu GNOME 16.04, you can then enable their PPA and get GNOME 3.20.
Nice. And finally, Ubuntu Studio.
Yeah, it's a fine release. I think they should be very proud of everything that they've achieved. It's based on Zubuntu to some extent, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, they use a lightweight XFCE desktop for if you want the desktop running, obviously.
But the,
you're mostly going to be focused on your apps, I think.
The meta packages that they put together to supply, you know, general audio tools and video editing tools, they've got a whole swathe of meta packages. They're good for any of the Ubuntus and really pick out the best tools to sort of fill a particular multimedia or artistic creative function, and everything's bundled in there. So they're pretty great, those meta packages.
And that's all the flavors. I don't think we've missed any out there.
No, we have. We haven't spoken about Edubuntu right, because course, they're sitting out the 16.04 release this time round, whilst they're looking for new leadership to hopefully pick up the Edubuntu project. Hopefully by, I think, 17.10, if nobody steps forward by 17.10 and takes it on, Edubuntu is going to fall by the wayside. So hopefully somebody comes forward and picks that one up.
Awesome. I'd be interested to hear some feedback from our listeners as to whether you've upgraded, taken the plunge, or whether you did a clean install of 16.04, what your experience was, both at the point when you upgraded or installed, and also, you know, maybe a week or so later, you know, if things changed or whether you nuked it and started again. But we look forward to getting your feedback. Also, Ubuntu Mate was out.
And now it's time for some command line love. So we've got detox minus R, and then it goes path to files. And this came from Henry Sprog. So it's detox command. He says he had a large data set with lots of different invalid characters in file and directory names, and that caused me issues when trying to process multiple files with normal bash commands of scripts. After much Googling and use of find and said, nothing really cured my problem. Then I came across this command way down a post that only 7 people had favourited. After a bit of testing, I let it loose on a copy of the dataset, and lo and behold, job done. Looking at the man page, it looks very configurable, but I didn't actually need to go that far. It just worked out the box for me. So he sent this in to us.
So is this like clearing out crud from files, you know, corruption here and there, or dodgy?
No, I think it's
UTF
more
characters or something.
Yeah, it's if you've got file names with stuff which makes it difficult to write a bash command, which
like
doesn't
spaces.
Then screw up, then it basically goes through and renames all of your files to sensible characters as far as bash is concerned.
Yeah,
that's quite neat. I like that. That's a really simple one.
Could have done with this on several occasions when you've got XML with absolute garbage in the data.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you, Henry. And if anyone else has any command line loves that you'd like to let us know about, or even GUI loves, then Laura's going to tell you how to get in touch.
We love getting your feedback, so please send it to us. Even the pointlessly mean stuff makes us laugh. If it's short, tweet us on @UbuntuPodcast. If it's less short, but please no essays,
Email us on show@ubuntupodcast.org. If you'd like to discuss some of the things we talk about with other listeners, post on our shiny new subreddit at reddit.com/r/ubuntupodcast, or you can just leave a comment on the relevant show notes on our website, ubuntupodcast.org.
And now it's time for some of that there feedback. And first up, we have Josh Strobel on Twitter, who tweeted us,
"Just listened to At Ubuntu Podcast for the first time. Loved it. Sounds like I have a backlog to listen to. No pun intended."
Excellent. Super, Joshua. Thank you for listening. Russell Phillips also got in touch via Twitter to say,
"Upgrading to Ubuntu 16.04. Decided to try Ubuntu Mate. The constant mentions on Ubuntu podcast must be having an effect."
We're trying to counter that. Yeah, we're trying to counter that this week. Andy T, who is Fraz J Alpha on Twitter. Three. What? Fraz? Oh, sorry. My eyes. Fraz 3 Alpha tweeted us,
"There was some confusion over Linux, over the Linux One architecture last week. It's Zed Linux, the S390, not Power. See this URL," which we'll have in the show notes.
Ah, so this is when we were talking about the new funky coffin-shaped stealth, IBM server.
The stealth mainframe.
Stealth coffin Linux box from IBM. And we mixed up which architecture of processor it was. Very sorry. Thank you, Fraz 3 Alpha, for letting us know we were incorrect. Friend of the show and Isle of Wight denizen Andy Stanford Clark on Twitter tweeted us,
"So you want our emailed essays now then? It's just that you cut that bit from Laura Carr's little monologue this time."
Did we?
"This was on not the last episode, but the one before, the news episode.
The bit where you tell everyone how to get in touch."
Yeah, and I checked it, and he's right. It's cropped in the middle for no apparent reason.
Weird. I don't know how I managed to do that.
That's what I thought.
Was that you or was that me, Mark?
So the following the following episode is fine.
Oh, good. Okay. Well spotted.
Super. Zero left a comment on our website, ubuntupodcast.org.
"I've just listened to Ubuntu Podcast episode season 9, episode 8 on my new BQ Aquarius M10. Ooh. It works a treat. Thanks and keep up the good work."
Oh. Awesome. I wonder how he listened to that, whether he just clicked in the browser or whether he used Podbird, which is the our podcast client of choice. Thank you, Neklesh and Mike Sheldon, for Podbird.
Yes.
Jonathan Gregory emailed us to show@ubuntupodcast.org to say,
"Just a quick question. I've installed Ubuntu 16.04 as I love XFCE, but I've noticed Ubuntu 16.04 LTS is supported for 3 years, while Ubuntu 16.04 LTS is for 5 years. After 3 years, I expect XFCE-specific features, such as the Whisker menu, Thunar file manager, etc., to be supported. But what
unsupported.
About... Unsupported. But what about features common to all Ubuntu flavors, the kernel, Firefox, etc.? Will they be supported for the additional 2 years Canonical provides for standard Ubuntu users?"
Well, what we do is, if you're using Ubuntu, we'll SSH into your machine and RMRF will basically do a LoRa on your laptop. No. LoRa, you can't make this go away. We're going to be saying this every week.
I also want to say that I didn't do an RM minus RF. Thank you.
You did the graphical equivalent of a DD.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay, but that doesn't matter.
In answer to Jonathan's question.
It sounds less stupid.
Jonathan, does it?
Jonathan, yes, because a GUI shouldn't let you do that.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You've started an argument. Jonathan.
Jonathan's question is valid, and
his assessment
so the way it works is the supported duration is based around some individual packages that are in the main pocket of the archive. And yes, you're absolutely right. Anything that is stated to have a 5-year support will get 5-year support. And if that's a common piece that's across all of the flavors, then yeah, that'll get the 5-year support. So the kernel is a good example, and so is Firefox. But yeah, the bits that are specific to your flavor, that's up to the flavor to choose how long they want to support. And it was a a discussion before the LTS went out that each individual flavor chooses to opt into whatever support duration they want to commit to. And obviously there's a commitment that they have to make. It may be that they continue to support it after the 3 years. It may be that they get community volunteers who help them and that carries on beyond the 3 years. But what they're saying is no guarantee beyond the three. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep. Good.
I was waiting for him to answer.
Oh, Mark C. from Florida emailed show at the Pondu podcast to say,
hello, I'm a new listener and somewhat of a newbie when it comes to Linux. I was trying Ubuntu Mate alongside Elementary on my trusty compact Presario V3000 laptop using a dual boot configuration. I decided to get rid of Elementary and I did a fresh install of just Ubuntu Mate. The only problem is it usually hangs when I try to shut down and power off. I end up having to hold down the power button until it turns off. How can I diagnose the problem, or do you know how to fix it?
Yeah, Martin.
Off the top of my head, I don't know how to fix it. But if you go to bugs.launchpad.net/Ubuntu-Mate and file a bug, I'll help you run the necessary commands to collect the logs up so where you can identify what's going on there.
Good answer.
I sometimes get that on the standard Ubuntu.
I've seen it on virtual machines, and I don't know if it's a common issue or if it's hardware specific, but we'll see what we can do.
Martin Grun emailed Show at Ubuntu Podcast to say,
only just listened to episode 6 where you mentioned my email. Just to say thanks, I can hear you over the traffic now.
Yay!
Obi Tom emailed us from America.
I'm using Ubuntu Martin 15.10, and I'm using the default backup program. When I switch to 16.04, will it play nice with older backups, or will I need to wipe my backup disk and start them over? Thank you for the show. I love each and every one of you. Oh. P.S. I know it's Mate, not Martin, just playing a bit. I'm a contributor to the Mate Patreon.
Oh, well, what a nice person.
Thank you very much, Obi Tom. The answer to your question is no, you can carry on backing up your 1604 stuff over your original destination, no problem, it's just fine. And there might just be a website, ubuntu-martin.org.
And I did a who is on it, and it's registered in Arizona, which is in America. So my bit of sleuthing there suggests he may be involved.
Also from America, Robert from California emailed in.
Here's a link to a video on YouTube of the ARM devices on the ARM devices website showing a new Ubuntu PC stick that looks great. It will hit the market soon, and this unit caught my eye because I've been very interested in Melee's products and just this week decided to buy a Melee S3 EasyCast wireless dongle for my tablet and PC to stream video to my HDTV. And he's provided us with a link to the video.
Is this the video where at the beginning they show off this little orange stick and then he...
You say little orange stick.
Well, okay, chunky orange stick, and then turns it around and the guy behind the camera says something like, and the Ubuntu license is paid for this as well, isn't it? And the guy says, yes. Caused lots of lol on Twitter and Reddit when they saw this. Anyway, Taz emailed.
Just wanted to mail the show to say that I also have problems with the RSS feed for the podcast ever since you moved to your new website at the start of season 8. I use a squeeze box along with the Logitech media server installed on Ubuntu. When I try to add the current podcast feed to my favorites and try to select it, I get the message there was an error loading the remote feed for failed to pass.
That's great.
I still don't get any problems with the old feed. Just finishing listening to Season 9, Episode 6, in which Martin has been doing some tweaking for other platforms, but the problem still exists for me. P.S. Love the show. I've been listening since Season 1, Episode 1, when Lug Radio Team announced they were pursuing other interests and suggested their audience may like this new podcast.
Interesting. That feed URL he gives isn't our official feed. The official feed is actually feed.ubuntupodcast.org.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, that Ash might MP3 be a problem. Yes. We'll make sure that we have, well, I'll say we've got the correct, make sure we've got the correct feed in the show notes. We've got the correct feed on the website. So maybe just double check that and give it a go.
And finally, Robert Blank posted on our Facebook page.
For a moment, when I read the description, my mind blanked out at the word season, making it look like it was episode 7 of 9. 7 of 9, tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01, but you may call me 7 of 9.
Yes, and we could have called the episode that, but it doesn't fit with our naming convention.
And it doesn't make any sense.
To me neither.
And that's all for episode 10. We'll be back next week when we'll have more news, comment and discussion. And now Mark and I are going to go and enjoy an episode of Star Trek Voyager, and Alan and Laura are going to be in the dark.
Oh dear. Yes, so send us lots of weird emails with references to star space programs that me and Laura have not watched.
Star.
And we'll have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that went well. I particularly enjoyed all the in-depth summary of Ubuntu Mate. I hope that doesn't get edited out.